Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion at the 12th Hour and the Elgin, Texas. Today is January 6, 2023, or it is the 25th day of Thebeth, 2027. We will start our first Sabbath sermon on this Sabbath morning. With a song entitled, The Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Yahshua. He's everything to me. He's a fair of 7,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to change and make me fully whole. I have found a friend in Yahshua. He's everything to me. He's a fabulous 7,000 to my soul. He's a lily of the valley. In him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort. In trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's a fairest captain thousand to my soul. He all my grief has taken, and all my sorrows born. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my hours torn. From my heart and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me sore, through Yahshua I shall safely be shipped o'er. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, yet forsake me here. While I live by faith in thee, his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his mind eyes, my hungry soul shall fill. And sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face. Where rivers of delight shall ever flow. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's a fairest captain thousand to my soul. Okay, we're going to do a prayer starting from Psalms 23.
Yeah, Psalm 23.
Very good message here. Mm-hmm. Very encouraging. It says that the Yahshua, Now, David was acquainted with Yahshua as his friend, the son of Yahweh, because Yahshua had come to earth to visit David and to be with him. And the type. And he's going to come to earth to be with his contemporary counterpart, the Antitype, here in these last days, and that's in the 12th hour of the house of David. It says, for the Yahshua is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of the righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Yahshua forever. And the reason why David knew that he would dwell in Yahshua's house, because he built Yahshua's house here on earth at Jerusalem. David did. Well, he provided the material for it, and his son built it. So he knows Yahshua's got a house here on earth. Well, that house has since been torn down, but said these last days, it's an atypical house of David. It's going to raise this house up. And going to raise up that, and I'm going to go read the prophecy on that right now. It's taken from Amos. It's taken from Amos chapter 9. And I'm going to go read that prophecy. In Amos chapter 9, verse 10, it says, through 12, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say that the evil shall not overtake nor prevail us. And that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen down. Now this is Yahshua talking here, the son of Yahweh. This is Yahshua's talking. That I will raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen down, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Now who's he going to build this through? He's going to have carpenters. He's going to have goldsmiths and coppersmiths. He's going to have silversmiths. He's going to have woodworking people. And they're going to come, allies of David, who have the antitypical allies of David today. That's going to come, and they're going to supply material. They're going to supply money. And they're going to, and they're the Gentiles that the Bible talks about in Zechariah 14, that are going to build this temple. Or Zechariah 12, I mean. That they're going to build this temple. Maybe even start with Zechariah 3. Those Gentiles are going to come in and drive out those bad Gentiles. The good Gentiles are going to come in, and they're going to build this temple. Not only that, but we're going to build David's antitypical house right here in Texas, a designated place for temple worship. In other words, the United States represents in the New World. It's called the New World because this is where the New Earth starts being restored at, in the 12th parabolic hour. Now I want to go back once again to Psalms 23. And I'm going to look at something here. Verse 4, let's go look at that again. It says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Okay. So now I wrote a couple of songs that have some verses that tie right into this. And I'm going to go back and re-quote this fourth verse of Psalm 23, and I'm going to tie those verses into this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for my soul will be at rest. From the cares of this life with intense desire, and purify my soul like gold tried in the fire. How is it with you today, my friends, what do you say? Do you need a special walk with him along the narrow way? Do you need a cleansing friend, resurrection from the dead? Just listen closely to me now, for here's what Yahshua said. Yahshua said, you must be born again, my friend, of the water and the blood to cleanse you from all sin, and walk in heaven's light from this point on, and teach the world how to sing a brand new song again. Okay, the end of a prayer thought. Volume 1 of the Time of Greeting, number 28. We had this just not long ago. We're going to have it again until we can memorize this in our minds, because it's a present truth for the hour. It was written by March 1st, 1947, by B.T. Harder, and that was about 75 years ago, but nevertheless, for the study, we're going to study, it's found in the 7th chapter of Micah. For this chapter brings to our attention 3 divisions of the time in which 3 different conditions obtain on the earth. The first condition is recorded in the first 4 verses. The second in verses 5 to 14. And the third in verse 15 down until the end of the chapter. Now let us begin our study with Micah 7:1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. Let's read that first verse again. Micah 7:1. Woe is me. Now, what does that mean? Woe is me. Micah, he's in consternation. When he saw this prophecy for the last days, he said, well, woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits. I mean, I'm as the grape gleanings of the vintage. In other words, the harvesters have come and got the summer fruit. I didn't get any of it. They got the gleanings off of the vine that was left. That was smelting and that was green and nobody else wanted, but they got all that too. So I didn't get anything. There is no cluster to eat. He said they didn't leave not one cluster on the vine. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. He said, my soul desired the first ripe fruit. But nevertheless, I could not take it. Have it because they took it all. The harvesters. Well, how come the harvesters didn't leave any for me? In other words, Micah says, I'm the prophet, and I have messages every day for them. But they come and they gathered the fruit without me. They went into the harvest here, and they gathered all the fruit without me. And he said, I desire the first ripe fruit. And lo and behold, when I got there to get the fruit, there wasn't anything. They already come in and got it. And they didn't bring me any. In other words, Micah is probably the only spiritual man in Israel. All the rest of them are his enemies. That's when they stole, if they come in and got the harvest, it means without his knowledge, then they stole it. Because if he had been aware that it was harvest, that he was going to harvest, he'd have gone out there. Because he said, I desired the first ripe fruit, and I didn't even get any. All right, let's go on. So he said, something is lacking to a vintage after its fruit is gathered in. What is it? We will find the answer by reading Micah 7, verse 2 to 6. For the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. For the prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, uttereth his mischievous desires as they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Okay. Now it says, the day of your watchman. These are supposed to be the prophets that are standing on the walls of Zion in the house of Israel. And thy visitation cometh. Now it shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Okay, so I come to understand that meaning of that, right, that verse there when I was down in Kermit. But we had a similar experience that caused me to go to the prophet and said, you know what? You're believing a lie. I said, your wife has told a lie on me, and you're believing it. And I said, Micah says you're to keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in your bosom. You're not supposed to hear these lies, even from your own wife that lieth in your bosom. And I said, I told you she lied, and I told you that you were to go and correct it, confront her with it, but you believe it as the truth, and you won't do it. So I said, this is going to be your downfall, Brother Johnson. This one thing right here will bring you to your end if you don't correct this. Sure enough, I had to go to him twice because his wife lied the same lie on me in 20 years. He come to me a second time confronting me, and I said, you're believing a lie a second time. I said, let's go to your wife and get it straightened out. No, I won't allow it, he said. I said, well, then you come to your end. You will come to your end, and none to help you. Okay, let's go on. As it says, the righteous, having been taken out of the world, and the wicked alone left in it, its condition is depicted by a vintage that has been robbed of its fruit. Okay. So there was to be a harvest in this field, and sure enough, the wicked man was watching it day and night, and just as soon as any part of it became the first ripe fruit, where they went in and got that first ripe fruit, and then they got all the green fruit left on it, and then they just scraped the vine clean of everything, and left in a state of the loneliness and fear because of the total wickedness. Now, this is a prophecy to the Adventist Church. This prophecy is directed to the Adventist Church. The sifting takes place in the day that the Yeshua, the Son, visits his watchman, the prophet. That is, in the judgment day, the day, and Vicky Hollis, he should have added, in the judgment day of the living, in the last parabolic hour, he should have added that. The day that he separates the wheat, which is a symbol of the 144,000, the remnant, from the tares, which is a symbol of the wicked that is commingled among the righteous in the house of the Seventh-day Adventist in the last days in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. Matthew 13:30. For the good fish, and the good fish from the bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48. The sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:31-46. Micah 7:7-10. Therefore I will look unto the Yeshua. I will wait for the Yeshua of my salvation by his blood. That should always be added when you have that word, you're waiting for salvation. The only salvation you can have, it's through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and you have to be covered with it. Your sins have to be completely washed away from it before you can have salvation. And to prove that, go read Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. It talks about the saints are washed in the blood of the Yeshua. The sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:31-46. Micah 7:7-10. Therefore, I will look unto the Yeshua. I will wait for the Yeshua of my salvation that is afforded me by the offering and the sprinkling of his blood for my repentance and confessed sin. For he forever cleanses me at the Pentecost and take away all of anything that I have left. At the antipical Pentecost, that's when we have to become perfect, finally arrive at perfection. As a sin no more, it says. It says so right there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. My Yahweh, my Yeshua will hear me. He said, my deliverer, my Savior, Yeshua will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. The General Conference, the Jesuit Catholics, that have infiltrated the Adventist Church, it says, don't you rejoice when this prophecy is fulfilled in the last day, because you are mine enemy. In other words, I'm part of the 144,000 that come out there for the truth. And I have been taken out from among my enemies, the terrorists, those Jesuits, that have completely destroyed the Advent doctrine and replaced it with the false Catholic Trinity doctrine of the three in one persons of the Godhead. And Yahshua and the Holy Spirit is not even a person, and the Holy Spirit don't have a name. It's just called the Holy Spirit. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, the Yahshua shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Yahshua, because I have sinned against him. So if you've sinned against Yahshua the Son, you're going to have to bear the indignation, his indignation, when he comes to chastise you. Until he plead my cause before the Father on the Day of Atonement, and execute judgment for me. So I have to bear the indignation all year long. His indignation. He sprinkles his blood on a daily basis for me, but I still got my sins on record for a whole year. But I will bear the indignation until he pleads my cause before the Father on the Day of Atonement and gets my sins blotted out. He will bring me forth unto the light. Oh. And I shall behold his righteousness. Did you know Yahshua had to perfect righteousness in his own life? He had to do that in order that we could have an example of how to perfect righteousness. And you go read about that in Hebrews chapter 5. It says he overcame by the things that he suffered. Yahshua had to overcome also by the things that he suffered. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Yahshua, thy Savior and Redeemer and Deliverer? For mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. Now at the judgment of the living, at the final judgment for the seventh day Adventist church, will produce 144,000. And that's when she will be trodden down as a mire of the streets on that day. And that's still in the future, but it's very near. It's hastening on apace. For these verses presents Yahweh's faithful people as the people unto whom these prophecies have been unfolded, as having an enemy that bears a feminine designation, she. This she questions and doubts the Yahweh's presence among his people. She mocks them for their faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Romans 3, 24 and 25. Hebrews 18 through 24. Hebrews 11:28, and on and on. Since these prophecies are now for the first time brought unto the light, now V.T. Hoff saying in 1947, now these prophecies are just now being brought to the light. Okay. He says, they constitute the message of the hour. So in 1947, he said that this Micah 7 came to the light. And now it's time to understand it. So 75 years ago, of this being the case, how much more so do we need to understand it today? And upon us has been placed, so Vicky House has been more clear, since upon us the division Seventh-day Adventist, the daughter of the mother Seventh-day Adventist Church, has been placed with the burden of carrying the message unto the mother church, Seventh-day SDA. And since she is our enemy, now Vicky Hollis said, she has already proven herself to be our enemy, the daughter. So the mother is made herself an enemy to the daughter. Because the daughter wants to follow present truth and be sanctified and made righteous, and the mother doesn't want her to be. So it says, as was the Jewish church and the apostolic era, for the inspiration thus bears witness against her and pronounces her doom. Then it shall come to pass that the Gentiles shall see the saints' righteousness. Okay, so when 144,000 comes out of the Adventist church, all that's left in the church is the terrors. And the terrors were infiltrators, and they were not even Adventists, they were not even Hebrew Israelites. They were terrors. They had infiltrated from the Gentile world into the heaven. And that's what it says, and all kings their glory. And they as a people shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Yeshua shall name, Isaiah 62:2. Micah 7:11-12. And today, let's step back up a little bit. Then it shall come to pass that the Gentiles shall see the saints' righteousness. In other words, they're going to see a purified house of David with 144,000. But Yahshua sit upon the throne of David, for he has come back to this earth, and all kings are glory. And why wouldn't it reflect glory with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David in this purified kingdom of David? It says, for the mouth of Yahshua shall, okay, so it says, and they as a people shall be called by a new name, that the mouth of the Yahshua shall name, Isaiah 62:2. Okay. So you might get an idea of what this new name is by going to Jeremiah 23:5. It's called a righteous branch. Because the branch is another name for Yahshua. And they got the word righteous onto it. So I will raise unto David a righteous branch, meaning a righteous organization. Okay, which with the 144,000 represents this righteous organization that's raised up under David, Jeremiah 23:5-7. Micah 7:11-12. In the day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. What decree is that? That's the decree that antitypical Nebuchadnezzar puts upon the Adventists that they should die that won't take the mark of the beast. So the decree made. That's the decree it's talking about. Said in that day, that decree is going to be far removed from the kingdom. And that day also, he shall come even unto thee from Assyria. Oh my. This is where Mesopotamia, this is north of Israel. This is up there in the land of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. This is where paganism originated. And from the fortified cities and from the fortress, even unto the river. Okay. And what river is that? Unto the river Nile. That runs, separates Egypt from Israel. And the great Euphrates River that borders the north of Israel. Between, this is actually talking about the river of the Euphrates. That is a border between Assyria and Israel. Since this decree is removed in the day that the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44 and 45, is set up with the church purified and restored, and is restored in the day that the saints are fortified. Okay, why do the saints have to be fortified? They've got to have a wall built around them because you still have wicked out there that wants to destroy them. All the wicked hadn't been destroyed yet. For the decree has no effect on them. And that day, declares inspiration, there shall be a great gathering from Assyria and from the fortified cities, even from sea to sea. How many seas are there in the world? 7 seas. Okay. From sea to sea. And from mountain to mountain. For this message, therefore, is the one that precedes the harvest of the earth in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, the judgment of the living, harvest time of this earth. This is when this message, it'll precede all of that. With the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua and the judgment for the living and the day that on all things are to be restored. Okay, now look, this is and this day now, here in the 12th parabolic hour, all these things that's been broken down the world. You're going to have the destruction of all the wicked. And you're going to have, then begins the restoration of all this world that has been torn down. And guess what? All these Gentiles that are not qualified to be priests and ministers, they're going to be made carpenters and plumbers. And iron, workers in iron, and gold and silver. They're going to have to do all this building. Mark 9:12. And all the farming. That's found in Mark 9:12. Micah 7:13-14. Okay, it says, in Micah 7:13-14, notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them, the wicked, that dwell therein. You gotta get rid of them. So when you get rid of them, it's gonna make the land desolate. How are you gonna get rid of them? Through warfare. There's gonna be a tremendous battle for the fruit of their doings. It says, feed thy people with thy rod. It's talking about the prophet. It says, you feed the people with the rod, the flock of thine heritage. Well, there's only two rods mentioned in the Bible. There's Aaron's rod that budded, and the temple. There's Moses' rod coming out of Egypt. There's three rods. And there's David's rod in the last days. And the type. David had a rod and a staff. He wrote about it in Psalm 23. I just read it. Okay? So it says, notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of the wicked that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doing. Feed thy people, he's talking to Micah the prophet, feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, that dwell solitarily in the wood, and the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in the basin, and Gilead as in the days of old. Now Micah is not going to be resurrected to be the antitype of himself, so he's telling Micah to feed the people with the rod. Well, we have three members of the family tree. We have Jesse, the father of David. And Jesse represents the Adventist church. And it says, David the rod. And it says, and Yahshua the branch. And it says, these make up the family tree in the last day. David the rod. And when Marcus comes along and says, feed thy people with the rod, he's talking to antitypical David. He said, you are to feed the people with the rod. There's your command. So that's the reason why I'm reading this today. Is the people have to be fed with the shepherd's rod, latter rain of truth that was left on record for its timely fulfillment with the last prophet that has been sent to this, to the house of Israel. Okay, so now let's read that again. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them, the wicked, that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, as the flock of thine heritage that dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of the Carmel, let them feed in Bashan. The first feeding patch for the Seventh-day Adventists from 1850 to 1890. And Gilead, the third feeding pasture from 1970 to 2003. As in the days of old, before these promises are fulfilled, though, inspiration declared that the land was to be desolate. So folks, before we can restore the United States and get rid of all the wicked, gotta get rid of all the wicked first, gotta have this war, this civil war, and then this land has gotta be made desolate. And all these aliens, coming in here with an open border by the millions, they're coming in here to overflood the United States. But they're forcing them into these sanctuary cities, these wicked cities that has to be broken down. All that's going to happen is these illegal aliens are going to riot and they're going to burn and break down. They've already done it. All the cities of the United States. This is just the beginning. The dispersion of the people would first take place for the, and it says, for the dispersion of the people, first needs to take place for the rod of the Yahshua. Okay, now, it says for the rod of Yahshua, well, Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, it says it's the rod of David. No doubt Yahweh the Father is the creator of the rod of Aaron. He's the creator of the rod of Moses and of David. But nevertheless, we're talking about it's the rod of David. And that rod of David is the same thing as that little stone hewn out of the mouth without hands in Daniel 2 that smites the image on the feet that grows into a mountain and fills the whole earth. And that, it says that 10-toe image, 10 toes meaning all the nations of the wicked nations of the earth are represented by that image. And so that little stone hewn out of the mouth without hands strikes that image. That's the rod of David. Here in the 12th parabolic hour, folks. And it destroys all the kingdoms. What does it say in Revelation 2:26? He that overcometh will I give to rule over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod and smite them with the rod of thy mouth. Well, this message right here, this rod message, that's what we're going to smite them with. That's why we have to learn it. Okay. It says that for this rod of the David not only speaks, but it feeds too. Okay. So Richard said, when it says the rod that speaks, you have to have a prophet interpreting the rod, or the rod cannot speak. Okay. But it feeds too. And what can it be? If not meat in the due season? Well, this is meat in due season, folks, right now. And in other words, this is present truth. This is what Matthew 24:42-47 talks about. There are two servants. Which one is faithful and which one is not? The one that's faithful renders the fruits in their season. It's called first provender on a daily basis. Okay. So it says, if not the message of the hour. Okay, now let's read that again. For the rod of the David. Will only speak, yet it feeds too. And what can it be? Only the meat in the due season. Only the message of the hour. I put in words to replace those negative conjunctions, if not, and all of that stuff. We put the positive words in. Not the message of the hour, for the people explains the scripture are those who dwell solitarily in the woods in the midst of Carmel. Prophecy for this day hour recommends the message when the rod contains that the rod contains and that of the Carmel put and that what the Carmel puts out and not other. Well, as it so happens that Beatty Hodder founded the Shepherd's Rod in California in 1930 at Riverside, California, and he was a Sabbath school teacher for the Seventh-day Adventist. He was given the message of the rod, and by 1934 the Holy Spirit told him, get up and get out of here, get into a place I'll show you in Texas. And so he got up in Texas, and he got in Texas in 1934, and he was driving around Waco, Texas, upon a big high hill overlooking a beautiful lake. And right there was a large plot of land with oak trees all over it. And he understood this oak trees. It's in the scripture. And he said, this is it. This is where we're supposed to move to. So they bought the land and moved on to Mount Carmel at Waco, Texas, and built up a headquarters and called it the Shepherd's Rod. 1934. Okay. So, Micah had a prophecy for that. He said, those that dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. And that's exactly where B.T. Hollis' headquarters for the Rod was at. And Waco, solitary in the midst of the most beautiful oak trees, covered that whole land. And the Bible calls it oak trees. But the prophecy calls it oak trees. And so we know that that's inspiration working. And inspiration will lead his prophets at the appointed time where they need to go and be. I mean, it led me to Fort Worth and Dallas in 1963, December. And then it led me out of Fort Worth and Dallas back to the headquarters of Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas in 1981. I spent 20 years out there. Then he led me from there in 2003 to come down to Liberty Hill, Texas. And then in 2019 he led me to come out of there to where I live in now. All this at his appointed time. Every one of my moves is at Yahweh's appointed time. Okay, let's continue. For the rod of the David, will speak, and it will feed also. And what can it be if, as only the meat in due season, present truth, fresh provender, manna from heaven on a daily basis, if not the message of the hour for the people, explains the scriptures are those who dwell solitarily in the woods, and there is identifying the shepherd's rod. That's the people in 1934. In the midst of Carmel, for the prophecy for this day and hour, recommends a message which the rod of David contains, and that's the message of the 12th parabolic hour, that you are receiving the day as the unrolled the scroll now, for the judgment of the living is being a priest. And when Carmel puts out, none other. Micah 7:15. According unto the, to the rays of, according to the days of the coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. We are given the promise that the saints' experience is to be similar unto that of the Exodus movement. That is, just as they were led out of Egypt by the mighty hand of the Yahweh. Let's read that again. Just as they were led out of Egypt by the Moses' rod and the mighty hand of the Yahshua, the rock in the cloud, and that cloud with Moses, for he went with Moses down into Egypt, and he's going to go with Moses coming out of Egypt, because Yahshua is that rock in the cloud, and that cloud is to be a canopy for them in the daytime from the heat, and a light at night for 40 years. And we're brought safely into the promised land 40 years later. So shall it be now. Okay. So David's rod that speaks today started speaking in 2003. Now if perchance we have to fulfill an untypical 40 years, you can figure that one out. Okay. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people. And when I say recovering, it's talking about recovering of the saints, the purified people, that can be a shield by getting rid of all their sins. Only the remnant gets rid of all their sins, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Patros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign. You know what the ensign is? Yahshua and antitypical David makes up the ensign here in the last days. And you don't have any ensign unless you have Yahshua here as a part of the ensign. And you don't have an ensign unless you have antitypical David. The two together makes up the ensign. Yeah, for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of the Israel. So this ensign is going to, with the antitypical Elijah David, are going to go with the 144,000, and they're going to assemble the outcast of Israel from all over the world. You see that word assemble? Going to organize them in their own country where they're at and bring them to his holy mountain, Jerusalem, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah, that's your lawgiver, house of David, okay? That's the scepter, Genesis 49:10, a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Shiloh is another name for Yahshua. He makes up this ensign with the house of Judah after he comes. And unto him shall the gathered of the people be from the corners of the earth, the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11:11-12. Micah 7:16-18. For the nation shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their hold like the worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Yahshua, our King, and shall fear because of thee, who is a Yahshua like unto thee, the Son. Alright, let's do that again. Who is a Yahweh, the Father, like the Father, like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity on the day of atonement, and passes by all the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, for he retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. For the enemy also of Ephraim shall depart. Ephraim represents the leader of the 10 tribes of Israel, and they were called Israelites back then when they separated from Judah and Benjamin. The envy also of Ephraim of the 10 tribes that separated from the 2 tribes back then shall depart. And the adversaries of Judah, which is Ephraim, was Ephraim back then, shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. In other words, the 12 tribes are going to be joined back together in one great kingdom here in the last days. That they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistine toward the west. Okay. And who are we here in the United States? We're in the west from where this prophecy was first created. They shall spoil them of the east together. And that's in the old country where they had their original home. They shall lay their hand upon Edom, which is another name for the Seventh-day Adventist Church Day, and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. That's the descendants of Lot, a Hebrew that came with Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and that's his descendants. Edom, Moab, and Ammon is the descendants of Lot. Not Edom. Moab and Ammon are the descendants of Lot. Edom is the descendants of the Adventist Church. And the Assyrians shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the 7 streams, and make men go over dry shod, Isaiah 11:13-15. As great as shall be the day of the Asher for the faithful, just that dreadful will it be for the unfaithful. Micah 7:19, he shall turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquity, and thou shalt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea, for our Yahshua is a wonderful indeed, for he retains not his anger, for he delights in mercy. For he remembers not the sins of the penitent, he casts them away, where they cannot be found anymore. Micah 7:20. Thou wilt perform the truth unto Jacob, and the mercy unto Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Okay. This is inspiration reaffirms all of Yahweh's promise. They never fail, for his prophecies are sure. We are on the threshold of a new world in the sight of the old. Soon there shall be a sin no more. Yes, we are right here in this 12th parabolic hour. This is before the very end when probation closes. This all takes place while probation is still open. Therefore, are they before the throne of the Yahweh and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that said, so you have to have that temple restored if they're going to serve him day and night in this temple. and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. See Revelation 7:15-17. Even now, says Yeshua, I have set watchmen, that's prophets, that's with inspiration, upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. Now walls has got an S on it. It says, all the walls of Jerusalem, means all the church that is called by Jerusalem's name around the world, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night, ye that make mention of the Yeshua, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So there's not going to be no rest from here on, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. For Yeshua has sworn by his right hand, and that's the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of David, Daniel 2:44-45, the little stone hewn out of the mountain without hands, that is the same thing as a David's rod, and Yeshua joins the David rod to make it an ensign, so the two of them are in charge of the David's rod, because in Revelation it talks about Yeshua is going to smite the nations with the rod of his mouth, okay, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemy, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for thee which thou hast labored. So we're going to have our vineyard people, and our plowmen are going to plant vineyards all over the world, and people are going to have to grow crops and put in hard houses, and they're going to have their own food year-round. There's not going to be no grocery stores nowhere to go and buy your adulterated food. You're going to grow your own or starve one. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Yeshua, and they that have thought it together, have brought it together, shall drink it in the course of thy holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stone, lift up a standard for the people. What is that standard? That's the ensign with the emblem of the lion and the Star of David on this flag. That's a banner. And Isaiah 60 talks about this banner over them as love. Okay, it says, behold, Yeshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye unto the daughter of Zion. This is the Mount Zion at the 12th hour is the daughter of Zion. And the Adventists originated, or did Windmill, David, I mean, William Miller originated Zion in our day in 1833, the first day of Advent, that had the Millerite movement of 1833-1844. He delivered the 2300-year prophecy to the Seventh-day Adventists in 1844. He had the first angel, the first angel's message, William Miller. And he was called Zion. He was called Zion at the sixth hour. Ellen G. White, Seventh-day Adventist, was called Mount Zion at the ninth hour. Brother Johnson had Mount Zion at the 11th hour in 1970. and Elijah David has Mount Zion at the 12th hour in 2003. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Okay. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Now Yahshua comes, he brings his rewards with you, but he comes to head up this work in the 12th hour of the destroying the wicked and bringing in everlasting righteousness as the ensign working with the house of David. He has, and Yahshua takes his place upon the throne of David, and that's when his work begins for the harvesting of the world. So we got a whole new movement that is underway right now with us. This is the fifth movement since Israel came out of Egypt 3,500 years ago. This is the fifth movement for Israel. And we are, and it's the last one. And Yahshua is going to come, and he says his reward is with him to seal the saints, the 144,000 in the house of David, members of first of the first fruits, the wave sheaf offering, increments of the harvest, and then he seals all of those, and he makes him his great army, and then he says, now our work is before us, and then you have to go read Joel chapter 2, you have to go read Revelation chapter 9, and so, where we've got a great work, just that's the reason why we've got to get well and healthy and strong. Not only that, we're going to grow up and fulfill Malachi chapter 4, where we grow up as tares of the stall. There's six verses there. We're going to open up pituitary glands, and we're going to grow up to the original stature of Adam during these last days. We're not going to be no little short 6 foot tall puny saints. We're going to be 10, 12 foot tall. That'll be for later. We'll cover that later. All right. This brings in our status hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Let us continue now. We just got a few minutes. Let's say, let's do a little review. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed by the blood of Yahshua, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken, Isaiah 62:6-12. We are indeed at the threshold of this new world and the sight of the old. Let our works and faith now answer the Yahshua's most astounding question since the world began. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, that is the antipathetical Elijah, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua of the host. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, that's the priesthood, purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah, the lawgiver, and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahshua, as in the days of old, and as in the former years, and I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the harlot in his wages, for the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith Yahshua of the host. For I am the Yahshua, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:1-6 and Malachi 4:4-5 and 6. This brings in verse 30, our contest at the 11th hour, call on us number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message. And we're going to close now this song.